touchdown Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle.
What's going on, everybody? Long time no talk. Sam here with Nick, Titans Unfiltered, Music City Miracles. Nick, it's been a long off season. I see that you still have your nice, luscious beard, so you still look as great as ever. It's been a fun one, man. Like I will say that the break that we get in between having Titans football is one of those ones where like you recharge emotionally. And now I'm so ready to get back on an emotional roller coaster and just absolutely let my emotions just go nuts and be just a ball of stress once again.
Yeah, just get right back into it, right where we picked off, where we left off. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, you're talking about the roller coaster of emotions. I was at that Bengals game, and I can't even remember if we had a podcast after that, to be honest. Like, I won't say that it broke me. That's a little dramatic, but something inside of me like died a little bit that day.
We didn't because of the fact that it was so bad and we were so close to so much that I think that it was just kind of one of those situations where like, what would we have been able to get on here and say that would have kept us from like losing our minds?
Nothing. Because the game itself was brutal enough. And then I was up in the nosebleeds and I had to walk down the stairs surrounded by Bengals fans chanting "Who Day," and I still haven't fully recovered from that. I'll be man enough to admit that, you know, I had a tough time. Went to Broadway, drowned my sorrows a little bit, and then I kind of just took like a break from Twitter, which was not just because of the game, just like I was like, all right, I need to take a little time away. I've been on my phone a little too much. I still lurked, but you know, not getting in as many arguments or scrolling quite as much as I was used to. And, you know, just as I was, like, ready to get back into it, you know, they traded A.J. Brown away. So, like, just, like, me wanting to talk about the Titans was at an all-time low there for a while.
Yeah.
But like you said, like, once those training camp videos started coming back on the timeline, seeing the ball get tossed around, you know, there's always, like, you think every wide receiver in camp is going to be a Pro Bowler. Like, you just get right back into it and you can't help it. And that's like how you know you're just kind of addicted to football. And it's going to let you down, but you can't stop yourself.
It's time. And yeah, I mean, obviously, I was at that game too. And it was the weirdest thing. Like, once the last interception got thrown and another game was over, I remember walking to my car. Obviously, like, I was walking and we were on our way back, but everything felt so mute. Like, I felt like I I was just talking to my girlfriend like normal. And we got in the car, we went home. I remember everything was fine. I was acting normal. And I remember I woke up the next day and like I had no motivation to do anything. It was a Monday. I had to work. I remember everybody was texting me. They're like, man, sorry about that. Everybody's like, oh, man, you're going to talk about this on your podcast. And I was like, be honest with you. I knew for a fact that like me and you have enough our relationships to the point to where we didn't even text each other to talk about this. I knew it wasn't going to happen. I was like, you know what? No, we're going to like, if anything, we just need to take like we need to step back and just like let it just simmer for a little bit. And we didn't talk about the podcast all off season. Like let it simmer. Spent time with family. Like and like we did our things. We did our normal lives where we just were not like any kind of media guys for a while. And I tell you what got me. It was the first video when I saw Derrick Henry running up the hill doing the little drills that got me to the point to where I'm like, man, you know what? We ain't done. And it's like, I was like, I think it's about time to kind of fire it back up. And I was like, well, the closer we got, and then just watching how things are going in the offseason. And then whenever I started seeing people kind of getting excited to see Tannehill throw the ball, I was like, okay, like, it's time for the season now. Like, I think everybody's kind of whatever, it's time to do this. So, I mean, it was a long offseason. I mean, I'm not going to lie, but I think that now we're to the point to where it's kind of time the things start rolling a little bit. You know, you start getting a little bit closer and you're going in here and we're a little bit healthy and you're seeing all these things about Kyle Phillips and how good some of the people look in training camp. And I watched the video of Nakine. I'm like watching a video of like him, like how hard he's wanting to work and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, I seriously keep telling myself that there's going to be a Titans team that we see this year that may actually exceed expectation. And that's great because expectation was so high last year. Yeah. I'm super pumped about the fact that expectation is this year.
Yeah. It's one of those things like on paper versus production. I think it's what's going to be from last year to this year. Like on paper, you know, Julio Jones and AJ Brown compared to Bobby Trees, who's a good wide receiver, but coming off of pretty big injury as like a 30-year-old wide receiver, and then Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, there's not really a contest there. But then those guys missed like a combined 8 games. And, you know, AJ didn't eclipse 900 yards. Julio didn't eclipse what, 400 or 5? I think he had like mid fours.
Yeah.
Like those are very like in terms of production, all those guys can easily match that, and you know, if not do better. And we still, you know, we're first seed. So, and I think too, the defense really came together in the second half of the season. So continuing to build on that from the start, they could be even better this year too. So, you know, maybe part of that is just being overly optimistic at this point in the season. Cause that's my other thing. People are saying, well, do we really know they can be that good? Like I just, you know, like I said, they don't look that good on paper. And at this point in my life, I'm just like, man, it's, you know, it's too much work to be pessimistic this early. Like we're going to have plenty of reasons to be pessimistic. Even through the preseason games, we're going to find reasons to be like, I don't know. You know, I'm like, I don't know about this offensive line. You know, Redun's getting whooped on the edge. That might happen, but we're not there yet. Right, you know, we have a game that the first game's this week. I'm still going to be optimistic until, you know, something makes me go otherwise. So that's where I'm at right now. I think, you know, the last year was like so injury ridden that just being better in that department, they're going to be in better shape. Like what they had to go through last year was ridiculous. And so, you know, and getting maybe Tim Kelly in there to kind of take the passing clipboard out of Downing's hands a little bit, that can make, you know, I'm just focusing on all positives, Sam. I just can't go down the negative track yet. And even though like, I'm not going to discredit reasons for concern because they're definitely there, I think I'm at the point where I'm just focusing on positives right now.
Yeah. The fun thing about this year is that you get to go into this season and you don't have to walk into the stadium and be like, okay, like big time game. We should be able to do this. We should do this A, B, and C. Yeah. Like we don't have to say that. Like it literally gets to come down to, we get to go watch a football game and then hope that the team that we put on the field exceeds like expectations that we have that aren't nearly as high as they were last year. But mm-hmm. then know that there's been like, now that we've gotten younger in certain positions, if this team comes out and they do exceed those expectations that we have, for me, I'm like, okay, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, now I know that we're going to have a team that is going to be able to compete, and we got a team that's going to continue to grow instead of being like, all right, well, if we don't do it this year, this is it. Like, team's going to be absolute trash, which is what was creeping in the back of our heads when we think about it, because we were like, okay, we're getting a little older. Offensive line getting old. Like, the defense is young enough where we were excited about that if we were able to bring everybody back. But now I'm just in my head, I'm like, I just think that there's something about this team and the energy with it that – I just think that there's not going to be one game that they're just not going to be able to compete in. The AFC, however, got a hell of a lot tougher.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's just, I mean, so two things. I think one is, you know, you're talking about last year and the expectations were so high. I was in this group to start, but I started pushing back on the notion that the window is closing. I think this year is kind of showing that that's like a bit of a fallacy, you know. I think the only time that there's such a thing as like the window is closing is if like you're the Bucks right now with Brady, like, you know, their window is closing. Like if you have a top tier quarterback who, you know, is going to leave in the short term, I mean, granted, the Patriots thought the window was closing for like 10 years and he just kept being awesome. But you know what I'm saying? Like if you know, the Packers probably only have Aaron Rodgers said he's not going to play forever. So there's the Aaron Rodgers window is closing. But outside of like a star quarterback riding off into the sunset, I think this shows like how easy it is to kind of turn the roster and bring in a bunch of new bodies and make some good signings and like still be competitive. Cause yeah. I don't think that the Titans, you know, they churned some of their biggest players and AJ Brown and Julio Jones from last year. And they could still end up getting better production from smaller names, just the way things are going to go. So I think that's one thing that people need to realize is, you know, granted you need to have, John Robinson hasn't been the best in every single case, but I think overall he's good at making sure the team is competitive every single year. And that he's creative enough to find ways to do that. The second thing is about the AFC. A lot of that I think is really going to come down to like, you just got to take care of your division. Cause if you think about it, like if the Titans can get a top seed, you know, they're going to have to play three really good teams either way. So, like, I don't think those three really good teams from this year will be that much better than last year. You know, it does affect, like, regular season to an extent. Like, you know, I'd rather play Denver from last year than Denver from this year. But I would say, like, I don't think that our division got so much more better that it's going to affect the Titans that much on a week-to-week basis. You know, they do have to play the AFC West, which is not ideal. That's probably the best division. Yeah. But AFC as a whole, like, I mean, oh, the Chargers were good last year. The Raiders were good last year. You're going to have to play three good teams in the playoffs. It really, for the Titans, is going to come down to beat the Colts and make sure that you don't drop more than one to the combination of, you know, Houston and Jacksonville. So if you do that, that's the tricky part is not, I don't think like the playoffs are going to be any harder than they were last year. I think the race to the playoffs might be more difficult because that wild card position is going to be really competitive if you can't lock down the division. So take care of the division and then you're going to have a hard way either way. That's kind of what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. I mean, and when it comes to our division, obviously we know it's us, the Colts, and then pretty much everybody else at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see exactly. Like Trevor Lawrence says he's in the best shape of his life, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, they didn't do a whole lot to improve. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But with the Colts adding Matt Ryan, do you think that Matt Ryan is going to be a step up from Carson Wentz? Or you think that we're going to be able to get Matt Ryan's face and cause some issues still? Because our defense is still phenomenal.
I do. Yeah. I still think Matt Ryan can play. I think Matt Ryan, you know, people are saying, well, his stats weren't as good as Carson Wentz last year, but Matt, that roster in Atlanta was god awful. Like he had Cord Patterson did a good job, but that was the first year he ever like truly played running back. He didn't have Calvin Ridley.
Right.
You know, he was basically like chucking it up to Kyle Pitt, like a rookie in Kyle Pitts.
Right.
He had no offensive line. So I think like the Colts have always gotten good, you know, as much as I hate them, they've always gotten pretty solid production out of their QBs for the most part. So I think like if he has good blocking in front of him and he's got a run game to fall back on, like I think he will be better than Carson Wentz. Do I think he's going to be awesome? No, but I think like, I think he's going to be similar to how Phillip Rivers was when he was there, which was, you know, a really solid guy. He's not going to make a ton of mistakes and get the ball. The thing I think that still might be hampering him is like, what do they really have at wide receiver outside of Michael Pittman? So I don't know how much damage he'll be able to do, but I think if we're strictly comparing Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan, I think I'd take Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, he did have a rough season last year. I mean, Kyle Pitts, I think, is a phenomenal tight end. He's going to have a great career.
Yeah.
He had the benefit of being like, listen, he was a crutch. It was like, man, we got to go to you on third down. We got to go to you in the red zone. Like, you got to make it happen. He had a choice. So yeah. I think that obviously he's going to have more weapons than Indy. Jonathan Taylor, obviously, he got a huge benefit of the Derrick Henry injury. He took advantage of it. And now, obviously, he's getting a lot of love going into this season. So we'll see exactly how that goes. But I do think that he's going to be able to make them competitive and not make some of the mistakes that Carson Wentz made last year. I mean, we saw some of the god-awful mistakes that Carson would make when it got to crunch time. I don't think Matt Ryan makes those same mistakes.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't get up 28-3 and just, you know, run the ball the whole time. That's all he's got to do. Right. So, that's when we get him where we want him. Get him up 28-3.
Yeah, we got to play from behind against the Colts this year.
Yeah. No, I think, honestly, where the Colts, I personally think, are getting, like, a little too much credit is for their defense. Like, I know they signed Yannick Ngakoue, and they've got Kwity Paye and DeForest Buckner. Like, they've got a really good defensive line. But I don't know if you've seen that, like, Darius Leonard, who's going by Shaquille now, is, like, he had back surgery, and they've said, like, he'll be back at some point this season, which is kind of, like, ominous for your best defensive player, like, with a back injury. We'll be back at some point. Like, if he misses half the season, that's a pretty big deal. And if you look at the secondary, you know, they got Stephon Gilmore, but he hasn't really played elite football for a couple years. And, you know, Blackman's a good safety, but they don't really have any other good cornerbacks. So, like, past the defensive line, I don't think their defense is all that intimidating. And I've seen people say they have a top five defense. So, I mean, people are always going to overrate the Colts one way or the other. I think a lot of Titans fans are saying they're overrating them, you know, for Matt Ryan. I do think Matt Ryan's going to be an upgrade. I think it's their defense that's getting a bit overrated.
Yeah, I feel like that's always been the case. They've just made plays in certain situations that make people say that they're better than they are. But Leonard being hurt in general, a back injury for somebody in his position is tough.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to get into that too much before we have to start talking about Caleb Farley. that's what I said when we were drafting Farley. Like, back injuries, I heard someone say one time, like, you never truly recover from a back injury. Like, you can mitigate, like, the pain and, like, you know, have a career still, but, like, Caleb Farley will still have, like, back pain, like, once he's out of the league. It's just going to, I mean, he's not ever going to be able to avoid it. So that's my, I'm definitely a doctor here. But, in a linebacker too, when that's even, you know, worse than probably a cornerback because you're having to have those head-on collisions. It feels like it's asking for trouble. So I don't know, you know, how severe it is, but they've been like kind of mum on it in the fact that they haven't given a timetable yet. That would make me a little bit nervous if I was a Colts fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to keep an eye out on to see exactly what that timetable looks like. And of course, they don't want to give a timetable on it because a back injury. So it's not one of those injuries that people can just be like, oh, 6 to 8 weeks. I can't tell you how my back's going to recover. Let me tell you something. I woke up this morning. I'm out for 8 weeks right now. I'll tell you right now. Like, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like, if we're going off of just, and who knows how bad his is. He's like hitting people going 20 miles an hour. His back's definitely worse than mine. But it is what it is when it comes to that. Going into obviously some things that we may have seen in training camp, though, who has impressed you the most this training camp that you may have seen a little bit of film on, just kind of off some videos that we've seen?
I think I have to say Roger McCreary, simply because, you know, I pride myself on following the draft pretty closely. I had no idea who he was when they drafted. Like, might have seen the name, but I think partially because I didn't really think about drafting the Titans were going to draft a cornerback, at least not that early. Like, I had looked at some late round names thinking maybe they'd scoop one up there, but I hadn't watched anything on McCreary. And then, like, the first thing I read about him was that his arm length was under 29 inches, which is like less than the average man, like not even like NFL player, like average Joe off the street averages like 30 inches or something. So he's got little T-Rex arms. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. But I mean, ultimately, you know, the tape showed him matching up with the Alabama receivers. So I'm like, all right, a little bit hopeful. And so far we've seen that. And he's, you know, we're talking about Caleb Farley, and McCreary's arguably been you know, better in the drills than Farley has. You know, who knows how that will translate once they get on the field. But I guess from the simple fact of like me not knowing who this guy is and like, oh, this guy like might beat out Farley for a starting position. That's probably who's impressed me the most.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I know that it's like, and you'll agree to this when I say it, but when you draft a cornerback high in the draft and he's from an SEC school that
can be,
it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to just say that it's extremely surprising that he may outperform some people that we already have kind of set, because those guys are going, he's going up against people that have just got drafted and drafted and drafted already. So obviously he's well coached. He's probably already been in a system that's kind of similar to what he's dealing with. His techniques are probably really sound. So it probably helped him a lot when it came to, it probably translates really well to the league. And if he just, all he's got to do is just get his NFL body right, and he's probably going to be able to compete. I mean, he's probably scrappy, definitely not afraid to hit. I mean, so it's a good situation for a kid like that to kind of come in. I do expect him to make an immediate impact because of the fact that our depth chart at cornerback is what it is. So he's going to beat out a lot of, he's going to beat a lot of guys out when it comes to that. Obviously we talked a little bit before, but from what I've seen, they said Kyle Phillips routes are really crisp. He's going to end up making a really good impact. I think at the end of the day, he's going to be more along the lines of somebody that we really depend on in a couple years. But I think, I do think that it's great to see that he's making a little bit of splashes in there, making some great catches right now. So that's always good when it comes to rookies coming in and just making a splash like that. And if I with not having a whole lot of size and just being like a little bit of a better route runner and stuff like that, he'll definitely be somebody that should be able to find himself on a depth chart really easy.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely have a role just because, you know, they really liked when Adam Humphries was here being that chain mover, like getting open. And I don't know how much, you know, yak he'll get necessarily, but I think there's definitely going to be a role for him. I think I'm a little, you know, people are super pumped about him, and I definitely think there's reason to be excited, but I guess I kind of look at it as, you know, I think he has a lower ceiling, at least for this year. Like the guys who have kind of played that role in the Titans offense haven't been super productive.
Right.
I mean, Adam Humphries opped out at like maybe 500 yards. So like, you know, when we're getting like pumped up about guys, like I don't really expect Kyle Phillips to come in and have 900 yard receiving season, you know, like I think a good year for him is going to be like 450 yards and like three touchdowns and like a bunch of first downs. So like, that's obviously good. When people are like raving, oh, Phillips, I'm like, yeah, I think he's going to be a contributor, which, I mean, ultimately, if he's what, a fifth round pick, that's awesome if you're going to get that from day one. But the guy, I don't think he's going to change the fortunes of the Titans season. I'll say that. I think he can be a contributing factor, but if the Titans want to go deep, it all comes down to how good Treylon Burks can be. Like, that's really what, that's like, they need that dynamic AJ Brown type player. And I think Phillips and maybe, you know, if Racy McMath and Westbrook Akine take some more steps, like I think they could have a really well-rounded receiving group. But like, to me, it all comes down to Burks. Like, how dynamic can he be? I think it'll take a little while for him to get started, but they need that AJ playmaking ability, and he's really going to be the determining factor.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to come down to, at the end of the day, like how these guys are going to be able to translate their game when it comes to the schemes we put them in, like the positions they get in, obviously the shape that these guys come in. I think that I think Burks has done a good job of kind of silencing all the talk about him being out of shape. That's out of the way now. Thank
you.
Because I was worried that was coming.
That's a good thing about being out of shape. You can get back in shape.
Right.
In a decent amount of time. Like, if you're like a pro level athlete, like, he's just probably like, after that, he's like, all right, I can get my shit together and like 3 weeks after he was good to go.
Yeah.
I'd rather him not have been in bad shape, but that's something like, you know, you can't work on talent and get better in your talent over a month. Like,
yeah,
but you can get rid of that, you know, that beer gut. At least.
I think because of the fact that all the pressure that was on him because of like everybody's expecting him to be productive because of AJ or whatever, I think that that had a lot to do with everybody just kind of like noticing that right off the bat. But I mean, these are still athletes. Everybody's harping on Leonard Fournette because he came in overweight. I guarantee you Leonard Fournette is going to be a beast again, just like he always is. I mean, what are we talking about? So it's the same thing, man. I mean, obviously, to be honest, and I'm a little biased just because like I've had personal conversations with him and stuff like that. I'm super pumped that Mason Kinsley's still on the team doing little things. I don't know.
Are you part of the Mason Kinsley cult? Listen,
he's gonna be on the podcast this season. I'm working on it, but like I mean, it's just one of those things where like you like to see him making like those kind of plays. It's the same as kind of like when we had Darren Bates, it's just one of those fan favorites, and just like you want to see make plays and stuff like that. But I mean, watch preseason, he's gonna make some plays.
Yeah, but you Kinsey bros have to hate Phillips then though, because like Kinsey's probably like when they saw him drafted, like shit, that was my role. Like if I was gonna find a way onto the team, it was gonna be doing that. Now I gotta beat up that guy. Now that guy's tearing it up in practice.
I watched a lot of film on Kinsey on punt and kick return. He can do that.
Yeah.
He's shifty. Yeah, I mean, every preseason we're like, oh, sweet move by Mason Kinsey on so and so. Then put him back there, let him break some ankles in. Like the kid obviously is shifty. It's gotta be hard to tackle because he's got a smaller frame. So I mean, put him back there and let him do some stuff like that. I mean, I don't even know who but at the same time, we still got Hilliard on the team. So,
yeah,
I think I do know that he was in a non-contact jersey the other day. So I don't know if he might have a little bit of something going on. But having him on the team, you're still going to have that. I feel like people forgot that, you know, we still had him back there because of all the attention that we were giving. What's his name?
Foreman.
Yes, we were giving him all that attention. We wanted to keep him around, so that we still got. He still had a pretty solid season. It's just because Foreman was so dominant in that Bengals game, and of course,
that's what everybody left with. Yeah,
of course. So,
but
I mean,
Hilliard like had the better like you know average per run throughout the year,
right?
And he's more of a receiving back, so I'm excited they brought him back, and you can kind of get the Foreman aspect with Haskins. So, but that's that's why I'm looking forward to the preseason games. I mean, it's still not real football, but I mean, you can attest. How many times have we been let down by preseason reports? Like, oh, this guy's lighting up camp. And then even you might see some in the preseason game and you come to the regular season and like they disappear. So the preseason games won't be a lock, but I think that's when I really will start buying into the hype. Is if these guys that, you know, if McCreary and Phillips and some of these other big names, if they dominate in these preseason games, then I'll like, all right, I'm getting on the train. I'll get with it. But until then, like, I mean, it's almost been every year that there's some like wide receiver that like Marcus Johnson last year, I remember everybody's, oh, Marcus Johnson, he's going to be the true wide receiver three we need. He's big, he's fast, he can do it all. I'm like, well, he's been hurt a lot. And, sure enough, like I hate it for him. Like he was good when he was out there, but you got to stay healthy. So like, I'm not going to buy in to hype until, you know, I get some semblance of the real thing. But I mean, and all right, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we're looking back to AJ's rookie season, like, I don't feel like he was like, people were like, this guy's going to be the best Titans receiver of all time. Like, I don't think he was getting a crazy, I feel like how he burst onto the scene was somewhat of a surprise. Like, he was doing well in practice, but I don't think anybody expected what we got out of him. And that kind of like, I could see that happening with Burks, you know, maybe not starting out hot right away, but the guy is just so dynamic with the ball in his hands. Like, I could see him kind of having that same entrance.
AJ's draft. That was the same year we got Simmons, right? That came out the same year, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, if I can remember correctly, I believe that we were, for some reason, AJ had a lot of hype because obviously offense is sexier than defense.
Yeah.
But whenever the film that we saw on Simmons was a lot better. It was one of those situations where we weren't sure what kind of how they were going to contribute. And even after the rookie season, like, Simmons had already kind of shown flashes of, oh man, this guy's gonna be huge in the middle. And then he just continued to get better and better. And then AJ started getting hurt. And then it was like, all right. And it was weird because people make fun. It's a running joke about J-Rob. Hey, listen, you had a season injury last year. We got you first round, second round.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And Jeffrey came off of that and still was able to kind of turn it around. And it's tough because whenever you're a defensive tackle and you're coming off
of that kind of injury,
man, like it was a really big roll of the dice. And I feel like that because of how good Jeffrey turned out, I feel like it makes him feel like that they can roll the dice a little bit more on those kind of, but not everybody's going to be a Jeffrey Simmons guy. Like they got to realize that. Like Jeffrey Simmons is this close to being like, after if Aaron Donald's like, I retire, then Jeffrey Simmons, like, he's right up there at the top of the list of like defensive tackle. We don't even know what if this season, if he does anything like he did last season, and Aaron Donald decides to hang it up after this season, Aaron Donald is in the conversation to being the best defensive tackle in the game.
So
it's like, not everybody has that same kind of build to be able to kind of do that stuff. So, and that was the thing. I would think that draft class, whenever they came out, like AJ was talking about how he was the best receiver we ever had, but he wasn't even the best person we drafted that year.
You really
want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe talent wise, he was the best ever, but like you can't be the best of any team when you've only played there 3 years. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, I think he could have been if he stayed. I feel like a lot of people like don't want to talk about AJ anymore, but I mean, he was him and Simmons were like the future of this team. So I think it's kind of hard to rip that Band-Aid off and not, you know, keep track and see what his how he's going to go through his career at the Eagles. Like, and you know, frankly, comparing Burks and Brown side by side over these next 3 years, when the Eagles are paying Brown a ton of money, like, out of percentage of AJ, how good does Burks need to be to make the deal worth it? So like, if he's 80% of AJ, that's probably worth saving $22 million a year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like, but that's the thing, like, is it 80-75% or like, in like at what point? I think he's got to at least be like an 800-yard receiver. Like,
Actually, we're going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to put a poll up tomorrow. I'm going to make myself a note. I'm going to put a poll up tomorrow. And again, and just making a guess, I'm going to put 75, 80, and 85%. And I want to say that a majority of the votes are going to say right around 85%.
How do we quantify that, though? Like, if we say, we'd have to say, like, assuming AJ's like a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown receiver or something, right? So, like, 70%. He's at 707 TDs, you know, going down like that.
We're going to have to
press. Well, we'll have to like quantify it because people will have different ideas of like, you know, what that is. But that's kind of what my thing is. I think, so let's say that if he is, if AJ is a 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown guy, you know, maybe the touchdowns are generous in that case. I don't even know what he's done the past 2 years. Yeah, I looked this up now. But like, yeah, I think if Traylon can come in his first year and do 70% of that, I think it's a win.
I would say, let's say Burks gets, because don't forget, obviously we're still the Titans, so we're on.
Yeah.
So let's say that he gets 775 to 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. That would be good for a rookie.
Yeah, we'll have to after this we'll have to figure out what the numbers are going to be, cuz I think we'll have to give like specific stats. So like I'm looking at AJ. Last year he did like 870 for 5 touchdowns. So but then the year before, 2 years prior to that, he averaged like 1,000 yards and basically 10 touchdowns. So that's kind of where I think Burks needs to get to. Okay.
What do you have his rookie year? Are you looking at?
Yeah, he had just over 1,008 touchdowns. Okay. I kind of think I don't think we can, like I said, it's going to be a projection you got to follow side by side over the next few years. So even if Burks like doesn't do that well his first year, I don't think it's a wash yet. But I think eventually he's got to at least, if AJ continues like having 1,000 yard seasons over the next 4 years while he's with the Eagles, like I think Traylon's got to touch like at least around 1,000 over that time period, at least once to make it worth it. Because otherwise, if you traded a guy, if that's the case, then AJ will have, you know, had 1,000 yards receiving like 6 out of his first 7 years in the league. And you don't trade, then at that point, it's like you don't trade guys like that. Like you pay those guys. Yeah. But if you get a guy who can like kind of match that, it evens out. But so it'll be interesting to see, you know, AJ's with his best friend now. I bet he's gonna, you know, I bet he can have an even better year because he's going to get thrown the ball a lot more. Someone was saying like Hurts is throwing the ball like every single time.
Now, so, don't forget he's got to share catches with old Slim Reaper up there, though.
And he does.
He had a good season.
He does, but the Titans just don't like to throw the ball either. So that's like another part of it.
No, the Eagles were the number one rushing team in the NFL. Like.
that is true. That is true. I mean, that's because they didn't have AJ. That's because they had Jalen Reagor out there.
Smith.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it wasn't that they didn't want to throw it. It's that it's the whole fact of A, I don't think they were 100% confident in Hurts.
And then
B, like they were so dangerous because they were able to go 1987 with like some of the play action stuff, and the stuff worked. Like they were running out.
Yeah.
They could run the pistol if they wanted to.
Yeah, because you're right, because like they kind of stuck the first half, and then they started getting good because they like basically stopped throwing the ball and just ran it all the time. And then they like turned things around. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. I've heard from their training camp that like the offense has not looked good. So it'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, that's my other plea is like, I think it's a fair comparison point to see what AJ does from here on out. Cause like, you know, people are like, oh, move on. The trade is done. Yeah. But like, it's still like evolving to see, like, you guys want to, you know, criticize J-Rob for everything. Well, some of the moves that he makes, you can't really, you know, have a good opinion on until 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you don't think that Atlanta Falcon fans still think about the fact that they traded Deion Sanders? You don't think that they definitely think about that. 100%.
Yeah. So that's my thing. Don't talk about AJ anymore. Like, come on. Like, yeah, let's not live on every single one of his tweets and, you know, dissect all of his nonsense that he talks about. Like we don't have to do that, but we can still follow him as a player and like make a judgment on if the trade worked out or not. So, you know, it's kind of unfair to Burks because he's always going to be compared to AJ, and like, you know, that kind of ruined his draft night a little bit, but it is what it is. So, you know, let's make it very clear that J-Rob made the right move. If, you know, Burks comes and shows out.
So yeah, we'll see what he does. By the way, Mason Kinsley just hearted my message whenever I told him that we would like to have him on the pod. So we'll see what happens there. I tell you what, it'd be nice to have him on just to kind of talk about what he's seen with this year's team compared to last year's. I want to know what the energy's like. Because here's the thing. I feel like Taylor Lewan's enjoying playing football again. Obviously, he's more healthy.
And he's healthy. Yeah.
Like, healthy than his last year. Yes. Obviously, we know the right tackle battle. If they figure that out, it'd be huge. Like, if they just figure that out. Luckily, it's not the left side. It's not Tannehill's blind side, which causes issues especially in week one last. I mean, Chandler Jones is automatically he automatically just got himself paid last year off of that. So I mean, if we can shore up that right side, Henry looks, obviously he looks good. He's not human, so obviously he's probably 102% out of nowhere. I mean, if we're able to kind of, and if the defense is 85% as good as they were last year, then shit. We're good. That's the thing. Cause I don't think people realize is they're just like, man, the Titans just, as soon as we traded AJ, I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had with so many people. They're just like, man, you know, we got so much worse this year. I got $100 bet with a guy that says that we won't win 9 games.
9? Yeah. Does he realize it's a 17-game season now?
Yeah. Literally. I was like, that's bananas, man. Like,
is he a Titans fan or is he?
No, he's a Steelers fan.
Okay.
He hasn't put the money up yet because I think that he knows how crazy that, like, I'll take that bet in a heartbeat. Like, I don't think people realize, like, they got so worked up over the fact that we traded away AJ that they thought that, like, we just got rid of everybody. They're like, man, we just don't have anything coming back. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, literally, like, one of the best our defense single-handedly almost beat somebody that was in the Super Bowl last year. And, the one reason that we blew it was because of a bad mistake by our quarterback. And if we ran the ball, then we win that game. If Derrick Henry plays in that game, we win, obviously, because he's not getting caught from behind like Foreman did on the way to that touchdown.
Yeah. You know? If Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry in that game,
it's over.
He probably won. Yeah. But he wasn't himself, and
yeah,
they kept trying to make it happen. Yeah. Well, I can't talk about it, Sam. I'm getting all
this stuff.
You're right. I mean, there's, the team like hasn't changed that much from that instance. Like the Julio loss wasn't really a loss. I mean, you're losing AJ, but you're gaining probably better depth at the wide receiver position, and you're getting hopefully a healthy Henry back. And Austin Hooper, I think, can be a legit tight end, like a legit true tight end we have out. And Chig too, who's like, can be a weapon out there, kind of in the Janu sense that we were missing. Like, I think the offense is like has much more depth along it. You know, there's not maybe the guys with the same ceiling, but you're right. Like I said, going back to what I said earlier, there's just a lot of reasons to be optimistic. So
right,
I think people on Twitter just like being sad and angry, and that's what it comes down to. And like, want to find reasons to poke holes and stuff, and to me, there's going to be plenty of times to poke holes once these guys really start playing. Like, shit's going to come up. It's going to happen. There's going to be guys who underperform. People are going to, you know, bitch at J-Rob for not finding a star at that position or whatever. And it is what it is. But, like, now's not the time.
Nope. I mean, like I said, we will find out a little bit more where we sit on Thursday. I don't expect to see a whole lot of what this team is going to be made of on Thursday, but like I said, it'll just be nice to see some snaps and we'll get to see exactly what we're looking like. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we got the Giants coming in. It's, as you know, of course, it's my girlfriend's favorite team. The only thing that makes me nervous about the Giants coming in here is I almost made this bet already. So I was going to make a bet because it was plus 170, I think, last time I seen it. This was like earlier this summer for Derrick Henry comeback player of the year. But today I was looking around and now I'm nervous because I'm thinking in my head, if Saquon Barkley is 100%, I mean, they're obviously going to love to try to give it to him over Henry even.
If he has similar stats at least, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I mean, it's without Saquon, I was like, yeah, the Giants come in here, we get some easy win week one. With Saquon being 100%, we can't sleep on that game. It's like, I don't think.
I don't know. I've seen some Daniel Jones clips here recently where I'm like, you know what? We might be able to sleep on that game.
Listen.
But, you know, now that I say that, he's going to, like, tear us up for, like, 350, and people are going to be saying fire Vrabel week one.
And he still can run.
Probably just jinxed it, yeah.
Daniel Jones, I've always said that Daniel Jones is better than people give him credit for. I'm telling you, that game.
All right, but there's some bad – have you seen those clips from training camp where he's, like, throwing 10 yards off his man, like
I know. If they really should have went out and got Garoppolo. They should have made that happen.
Yeah, I do think the Giants. I think actually, if anything, we're lucky we get them week one, because you know with the new coach and system, it's going to take a little while to get rolling. So week one is the time to catch them before they can like get their feet up under them, and like we're a team that you know has been together for a while and are at home, so. I think that's a good matchup for week one at least, but
agree.
I mean, is your girl, you guys are season ticket holders. You going to let her wear Giants stuff?
She knows. Come on, Nick.
I don't know.
If she tries to, she can, but I mean, like I said, I'd hate to turn this into a dating podcast of me out here looking for, I really wouldn't care, but it's just so she knows, like, because of where we are, we're where the real fans are up in the 300. So, like, it's so dangerous to wear any kind of opposing thing up there. And I'm like, listen, if you think you want to, you go for it. But you know how the fans get up there. I mean, you never know who's up there. I mean, if Chad's up there with his big beard, he yells every single fan that comes up there. Like, and then the two guys that sit to our left, literally, there was one guy that he brings this guy with him every other game, and he berates people to the point to where like they have to feel so uncomfortable. It don't matter if it's a couple, they're older, he's on there. They come up the steps, he's yelling at people on the steps. Like, I'm like, it's not safe.
It's a free for all up there. Well, that's the thing too, is maybe if it was like the last home game of the season, if I were her, I might consider it. But if she's going to come in wearing Giants stuff and then you're sitting around the same people for the whole season and then they see her in Titans stuff the next time, like, like, we know you showed your true colors.
Yeah.
Like,
we remember.
You can't pretend now. Like, we know, where your allegiance lies. So
week one when that crowd's going crazy too, when we still, we're not dead inside yet.
No. And it, people don't forget. People don't forget.
No.
So that would be my thing is like, if it's the end of the year, maybe people, there's some changing, but all the season ticket holders up there, they're going to see you for the rest of the 8 games or whatever. And they're not going to forget.
I told her, I was like, listen, I went on NFL Sunday Ticket and I seen this thing where you can buy just the package to like have it on like all your devices instead of, see if you don't have DirecTV. Because I don't have DirecTV because I hate when it rains, I can't watch stuff. So, but I saw where I could buy that. I said, listen, I'll make sure you can watch every other Giants game, but at week one, you're rooting for an L. Like, it is what it is. But,
and that's an afternoon game. People are going to be sloppy.
Oh, like, drunk. I'm going to be one of them. You better believe. Yeah. I'll talk.
I will be too. I'll be there as well.
I'm gonna be out of my mind. Out of my mind. But it'll be fun. I'm ready for NFL season. And, I mean, we're going to have a good season, and we'll be able to get on here and hopefully talk about how everything's kind of going a lot better than a lot of people thought it was going to go. Obviously, I think people have kind of calmed down since everything kind of happened in the off season. So I think that people are starting to get a little bit more amped up. We'll all start getting on the same page here and being a little bit more positive. And then all we got to do then is just come out and dominate. Can't wait to see Derrick Henry get that first carry. Obviously, we know it'd be the first play because it's the Titans. So we'll see exactly how it goes.
Yep.
But it's going to be it's time to gear up, man.
Can't wait. Juices are flowing. Feeling good. And it's going to, start ramping up even more when we actually see him play on Thursday. Like, that's okay, we're back.
Back. But yeah, it's going to be a good one, man. But, I think that's all I got for today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add in that you've seen on the offseason?
No, man, it's just good hopping on here with you and talking football again. I was a little worried if I'd be we were talking before we logged on, like making sure we knew how to turn our mics on and log in and on the Skype and all that stuff. So it's a little rusty, but you know, it's just like riding a bike. So
yeah, guys, when I tell you that I literally came out of a cave. Like it's been so long since I've even thought about a pigskin. Like obviously I've been watching everything, but when it comes to like setting all this up and everything like that, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm gonna get this out to you guys to listen to, but I'm gonna make it happen. But
these gonna be lost tapes, yeah.
the lost episodes of Tight Duck Filter. Remember that one we did? But no, we look forward to it. Obviously get ready to see this on the socials. We can get the socials rolling back up, but definitely looking forward to that poll, because it like that'll be the first thing we kind of open up with, just to kind of get everybody's juices flowing again, get them thinking about it. So we'll see exactly how that goes, but big shoes for Burks to fill this year. So we'll
big shoes. Big shoes. He can do it. I believe him.
You have to.
All optimism right now. Maybe after Thursday, I'll change my mind. But for these next couple of days, I have full trust in him.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, we're going to let you go. Be sure to subscribe. If you're not subscribed, be sure to go on there, leave us a 5-star review. Follow at Unfiltered Titan on Twitter. Be sure you give us a shout on there. You can always comment any questions you may have. DM us. DMs are wide open. And until next time.